Front Range Outdoors is brought to you in part by Wild Montana's Island Range Chapter, uniting and mobilizing communities to keep Montana wild. Learn more at wildmontana.org/IRC. Also, Front Range Outdoors is sponsored by Great Falls Area State Parks, including Giant Springs, Tower Rock, First People's Buffalo Jump, and Sluice Boxes, providing year-round cultural, historical, and recreational experiences for the Great Falls area.
Good afternoon. This is Amy Grisak on Front Range Outdoors on KGPR Great Falls. And today we have the pleasure of speaking with Michaela Moss, who is the director of the Friends of the Missouri Breaks Monument. So thank you so much, Michaela, for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is a perfect time to start thinking about the river and that beautiful area that a lot of people don't know about. Could you kind of share with us, you know, what are the breaks? What is the Missouri Breaks Monument, and why is it important in this area?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that question. The Upper Missouri River Breaks National Monument is a part of the National Conservation Land System. So it's about, just over 377,000 acres of BLM managed land. Bureau of Land Management. And then the boundary also encompasses about 150,000 acres of private land. So it's kind of just below 500,000 acres within the boundaries of the monument. It also encompasses 149 miles of wild and scenic Missouri River, as well as 6 wilderness study areas. The monument itself is kind of a big combination of upland prairies, Badlands, and then you drop down into the river corridor, which is most people's favorite place to recreate, especially during these hot summer months that are coming up. There's a ton to do out there, everything from boating to hunting to driving on the scenic byway that's out there. So there's a lot to offer everybody.
I'm sure, I know you've been out with the volunteers and everything with some of the projects that you've already been doing, but what is the landscape like to somebody who's new to this area or new to this part of the state? So what's it like floating the river?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. One of the coolest parts about the monument is that you would not necessarily know just how dramatic the landscape is until you're right on top of it. You drive out there and it's flat prairie landscape with a lot of the mountain ranges surrounding in the distance. And then you come up to the edge of just these huge breakaways down into the river corridor. So that's where the monument gets its name from, the breaks. So big coulees and canyons that drop down into the river. You have everything from sagebrush prairies down to big cottonwood riparian areas along the river, and really neat. The most famous and popular part of the breaks is the White Cliffs area. So these really spectacular soaring white sandstone cliffs that rise up from the river and create these hoodoos and, like I said, just really impressive cliffs that are one of the greatest things to find out there.
Well, I think it's great the way you describe it because, you know, in Montana, of course, we often think of mountains, which we all love. I mean, it's not hard to love the mountains, but this area is just absolutely stunning and it's kind of hidden.
Yeah, absolutely. The monument is one of those really amazing places that as people are going out into our public spaces more and more because of just how much landscape it covers and the location of it, you can really find a lot of solitude out there, whether it's out hiking up in the uplands area or even when you're floating the river. You know, there are busier times of the year, like all places, but I've never found it difficult to find some solitude and peace out there. So that's one of the best aspects of the monument. It's just how remote it feels, but it is accessible right here in central Montana.
So what's it like floating it in those different sections? So like say from Colbanks Landing to Judith Landing, that's what, about 66 miles or so on the river? And so what's that landscape like? Is it when, you know, I know you go through the White Cliffs, and so kind of describe that if somebody was going to float it, what they might expect.
So you kind of begin, right, like you said, at Colbanks, and you begin in a little bit more developed area. So you'll float past some of the working ranch lands out there. So you will see cows and sheep and all of that, and some infrastructure. And then as you continue down the river, you'll start moving away from that infrastructure and into the more rugged landscape. So you'll start seeing more and more cottonwood galleries that are going to pop up, some campsites that are designated along the river, and then you'll start getting into the White Cliffs section. The river kind of opens and closes as you go down. It's a big, wide, flat, slow river the entire way, so there's no white water to worry about as far as that goes. And it just kind of takes you along this journey from a wide open space into more narrow canyon area, and opens up and closes. You'll float past old homesteads that you can still see many of the structures that were there from the beginning. Wow. And then
can you imagine?
Yeah, and then you get down to Judith Landing where there's a boat takeout.
Excellent. Can you imagine what it would have been like homesteading out there 100 years ago or more? That's some rugged country.
It really is. I'm always impressed and wondering how they managed to make a living out there without, you know, cars and road access and all of that we have now.
Because even these days, the road access can be sketchy if it rains.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. One of the biggest things to keep an eye out for in the monument is that gumbo that's created by the bentonite clay that's all over in the monument. So any significant rain that you get out there, I would very much beware of driving your car on any dirt roads, because you will get stuck.
Absolutely. It's like I always tease, friends of ours live very close to Colbanks Landing, and I'm always like, okay, if it's raining, I'm not coming out. I won't see you. And that road's not too bad. But other areas, it's like, no. But so then from Judith Landing out to Kipp's Recreation Area, that's even a more remote and rugged area, isn't it?
Yeah, that definitely is. It's one of my favorite stretches of the river to float, and it's certainly a little less popular than the White Cliffs section, just because it doesn't have those big sandstone cliffs the way that the Colbanks to Judith section does. But this is where you're going to find a lot more of the open Badlands area, even more homestead remnants. So there's a lot of history down there. It's also a part of the Nez Perce National Historic Trail runs through that lower section. So it's chock full of a lot of history and just really expansive views of the monument and the surrounding landscape, and really gorgeous, big, huge cottonwood galleries that are just really spectacular to float through in the spring when it's green and the fall when they're changing colors.
Oof, that's nice. And such good area for wildlife too, those cottonwood galleries.
That's where you're going to find the bighorn sheep activity in the monument is down in that lower section, as well as a lot more elk activity. So those bigger ungulate animals are going to be seen in that lower section a little bit more often than in the upper.
Excellent. And also, of course, as somebody who's part of the Audubon Society here in Great Falls, the bird nerds were always looking for the bird life, too. And this is just such a terrific area for all sorts of species. And, you know, even now when we're months away from being able to be on the river, it's like, talking to you, I can just picture that huge, you know, that green landscape and those blue skies and, you know, and the water, the gentle water flowing. It's like, oh, it just, you can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get back on the water this year as well. Hopefully we'll be doing a float coming up here in June. And that's just one of the best times to be on the water out there when everything's greening up and getting some of those warm temperature days.
That's great. And hopefully between now and then, we'll be getting some precipitation. You know, the water levels, as you know, are kind of low this year.
Yes, fingers crossed. Last year, we did see remarkably low waters, and it opened up some islands that some of the guides who have been out there for years and years have never seen before. And so it really does change the landscape of the river when we have those low precip years.
Well, so tell us though, so as I mentioned, you're director of the Friends of the Missouri Breaks Monument. So tell us what you do and what the organization does. What's your part in preserving this wonderful area?
So the Friends of the Missouri Breaks Monument began basically to advocate for this landscape to become a national monument. So advocacy was a huge part of our mission right from the beginning, just to make sure that this landscape was protected and preserved for future generations. So once we accomplished that in 2001, we began not only pushing for advocacy, but also stewardship and education on the monument. So those are kind of our three pillars of our mission statement to protect and preserve the Upper Missouri River Breaks National Monument through stewardship, education, and advocacy. So a lot of my work and the Friends' work throughout the year is engaging local community members as well as those around the state to come out to the monument and just learn about this awesome area. So we hold education events either online, like our Tune In Tuesday YouTube event that you can still see on our YouTube channel, and then as well as in-person events like our annual cottonwood planting, where we go in and plant young cottonwoods along the Missouri River to help restore those aging cottonwood galleries.
Now,
and then we hold a whole host of other events throughout the year to kind of connect people with the monument, educate them about its history, ecology management, and what they can do to help.
Now, didn't you just hold the cottonwood planting event?
We did. Yes, our ninth annual cottonwood planting happened in mid-March.
Wow.
And we had almost 40 people come out to help us plant 75 trees just downstream from Hole in the Wall Campground, which is in the White Cliff section of the monument.
That's impressive to have 40 people. That's really good. It seems like people really take this to heart.
Yeah, it's always one of our most popular events, and it's just a really great way for people to make a lasting impact on the monument. You know, as these trees grow and survive, people are able to come back year after year and see the impact that their day of volunteerism created. So,
well, the really cool thing about planting any tree, you know, I've been a longtime gardener and all that, but when you're planting a tree, you're planting it for future generations. So it's not something that's just for us. It's something that we know our children, grandchildren, and hopefully great-grandchildren will be able to enjoy.
Absolutely. And that's really our goal, is to make sure that these galleries are there for our future generations, as well as for future wildlife. You know, it's a huge area for bird habitat, like you mentioned. It helps create bank stabilization for the river as well. So it is a really impactful project that we've been super lucky to be participating in.
This is Amy Grisak at KGPR Great Falls. And we are on Front Range Outdoors speaking with Michaela Moss of the Friends of the Missouri Breaks Monument. And we're just talking about some of the volunteer opportunities that are available that they do every year. And also want to talk about some of the other events. Now, you mentioned you're possibly doing a float trip in June. Is that an event open to members or the public? And do you have other events scheduled for later this summer?
Yeah, the float trip that you mentioned happening in June is to celebrate National Trails Day. So every year we do a National Trails Day event. Usually we host this at the Old Army Trail, which is at the McClellan Stafford Ferry and Monument. But this year we're kind of taking a different approach, and rather than working on a physical trail like that, we are going to be doing some maintenance on the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail, which runs the entire span of the monument, that 149 miles of river. So this is an event that's open to the public. You do not have to be a member, although we encourage you to join the friends in our endeavors, but it is open to anybody. So registration for that will open up soon, and you can find out more about that by following us on social media or jumping onto our website, signing up for our newsletter. But we'll be doing everything from maintaining our past cottonwood plantings to cleaning up the campsites to get ready for this year's rec season, to maybe maintaining some fence, cleaning up any trash that's out there, watering our this year's cottonwood plantings, and just kind of other random projects that need to get done through that section before we see that heavy use come in.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure that's going to be a fun time, even getting so much work done before everybody's on the river.
Yeah, it should be a great, great event. We're going to be out there for 3 days, two nights and 3 days doing this work. So it should be
excellent.
A really fun time and a great experience for those who have been on the river and for those who have not. So, yeah, we encourage you guys to take a look and sign up if you're interested. Oh.
And then the other event, big event that's coming up here on April 15th, is your auction. So let's talk about what you're doing for this year's fundraiser and what items are available, because, you know, I have a few favorites that I'm looking at. So tell me all about this.
Yeah, so we're really, really excited for this event. It's our first online auction that we've hosted, and we're doing this basically, like you said, to kind of fundraise for the year to help bolster our stewardship and education work and, you know, just keep things running in the office. So we were really fortunate to receive this amazing donation by one of our members earlier, I guess late last year. Len Kopek of Augusta, Montana has donated a beautiful handcrafted cedar canoe, and that is kind of the centerpiece of our auction. So it's actually available to view at Lewis and Clark Tap Room here in Helena, Montana, until the end of the auction. But we were just really overwhelmed by this gift from Len, who wanted to make this canoe in honor of his late grandson, Abel, who was just a really huge fan of the Brakes when he went out on a family float trip with Len and the rest of his family. So he made this canoe in honor of Abel and wanted to donate it to the Friends to help us continue to provide stewardship and advocacy for the monument. So we created this auction around it and have been really fortunate to get a lot of other businesses, artists, and individuals around the state of Montana to donate to us. So we have items from a guided 3 to 4 night float trip through the monument from Upper Missouri River Guides. We also have a flight over the Brakes donated by Montana Pilots Association, which is one that I am super jealous of whoever gets that prize. Always wanted to see the Brakes from the air. So
that would be amazing.
A really neat one. We've had Montana artists like Kevin Lee, the photographer here out of Helena, donate a canvas print, as well as some gourd art and wood burned art. And
yes, my friend Diva McKnight has done the gourds, and she's phenomenal.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it is absolutely beautiful. Such a unique piece. And I again really encourage everybody to jump on our website and check it out, and even just to see some of this art and some of the generous donations that we've been able to receive. But there's a lot of great stuff and kind of something for everybody. So, you know, these big ticket items might be out of reach for some people, but then we also have smaller items like a fleece jacket from Montana Wildlife Federation. a breaks package for people who love the breaks and want to learn more about it. We have some books about the breaks, as well as a poster and, you know, just a lot of other kind of random cool stuff that's connected to the monument. And so there is really something, I think, for everybody in this auction.
Well, since Len isn't here to disagree with me, I need to brag on him a little bit prior to people being to looking at the canoe, whether they could see it in person or in the photos. That so I've known Len for years through hiking, and we've gone on some fun adventures, and I've seen his work up close, and I'm always in awe. So to have this canoe available is absolutely mind-boggling, and it's just very, very special, because this is something that's an heirloom piece that is going to also last generations, just like the breaks and just like the trees you're planting. So it's one of those legacy type items. So, and this is phenomenal.
I could not agree more. And that's a really great way to phrase it. And speaking of, you know, it being an heirloom piece, just like the breaks, it actually does have inlaid pieces of cedar that were pulled directly from the breaks during one of our, volunteer events last year. We pulled some old fence posts to help open up wildlife migration areas, and Len saw those posts and saw a project, and so he took one of those, stripped it down, and found some really well-preserved wood in there. So there is now a few strips of that fence post in this boat, so it will be taking a piece of the breaks wherever it goes.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's excellent. So if people are interested in this auction, how can they participate? How can they bid, and when is it open, and when does it close? How much time do we have?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the items, almost all of the items, will be available to view this Friday, so April 8th. And then the actual bidding will open up on April 15th at 8 a.m. Mountain Time. So you can take a look at the items, get excited for a week, and then start your bidding on April 15th. And then we will be closing bidding on April 30th. So you have about 2 weeks to put your bids in and get your prizes.
That's excellent. I think this is a great way to get people excited about the season, and hopefully more people will become excited about the organization and also join your efforts too, because a place like this is even more special when you're on the ground. So, you know, it's one thing to kind of read about it, but it's another thing to experience it.
It really is. And that's why we really do encourage people to come out to our volunteer events. It's a great excuse, if nothing else, to make a trip out to the monument and see what it's all about. Because it is in such an area that you're not going to just drive right through it on your typical travel through Montana. So it might take a special trip, but it's always well worth it. So, yeah, come to our volunteer events. Join our auction fundraiser. The best way to find out all of this information and more is on our website, MissouriBreaks.org.
And you're also on Facebook, correct?
We are on Facebook and Instagram, yes.
Oh, good.
And so you can follow us there as well. To find out more about the auction, you just simply need to go to MissouriBreaks.org, go to our events tab, and click on the FNB Auction 2022. And that'll get you a link to our auction website. But I also really do encourage you to sign up for our newsletter, our email list. That's really where you're going to get the most up-to-date information and the most in-depth about what our organization is doing and how you can get involved.
Oh, see, that's great, because the summers go too quickly, and it's best to take advantage of every moment of it.
Absolutely.
So do you have any plans for later in the season, too? So we have the Trail Days event going where you guys are going to get out early. And as the season wanes, are you continually out there working on different projects?
Yeah, so we have our Big Sky Watershed Corps member who's with us for about 10 or 11 months. So he will be leading our cottonwood watering endeavors. So we do water those cottonwoods that we've planted every week during the hot summer months to help them get the best chance of survival as possible. So We are up there every week watering those cottonwoods and always looking for volunteers to help us with that. We also have our Confluence campout at the, or about in the middle of June, which is a really great event. It's a day of stewardship, but then we also have interpretive speakers come out and talk about the Lewis and Clark expedition, and then other aspects of the monument, like its wildlife or ecology. So that's a really, and then we do a barbecue at the end of the evening, and people are welcome to camp out as well with us. So that's a really great event coming up in the middle of June. We have a river cleanup that we're doing kind of in partnership with a bunch of other conservation organizations that work up and down the Missouri River, and that's called Bash and Trash. That'll be happening August 20th, I believe.
Okay.
And so we will be we'll be hosting that event in Fort Benton and kind of cleaning up the waterway all the way through town. And so that's a really fun event. It's easy to come out to. You can go hang out in town afterwards and just join a lot of people up and down the Missouri on the same day, all trying to help make it clean and beautiful.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thank you very, very much for speaking with us today, Michaela. And it's great to know that there's so much action, so much love on the Missouri.
Yeah, thank you. It was a real pleasure to be on your show, and I really, really appreciate you.
Well, I look forward to seeing you on the river, or at least near it this summer, and we will definitely keep in touch.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody. You're listening to Front Range Outdoors. This is Amy Grisak on KGPR Great Falls. And today we had a wonderful talk with Michaela Moss of the Friends of the Missouri Breaks Monument about all the wonderful things they're doing to preserve and protect this precious resource. Have a great afternoon.
Front Range Outdoors is also supported by the Big Sky Country National Heritage Area, enhancing Central Montana's cultural, historic, and recreational resources through community involvement, economic growth, and development. For more information, go to BigSkyCountryNHA.org. Thank you for listening. If you'd like more information about KGPR, please visit our website, KGPR.org, where you can find a link to donate, links to all of our other locally produced programming, and information about your local voice, KGPR Great Falls.
The sun's sinking low in the west, and I know another day on the range has gone by. We'll bed down the strays we've been gathering all day, the Montana love.